Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 18th, 2020. Today, looking at Proverbs chapters 16, 17, and 18. As we consider the book of Proverbs, check out yesterday's episode for a little bit of a background on different types of literature. But what we have in the early portion of the book of Proverbs is often kind of a story, a proverbial story, as these proverbs are kind of gathered around a central idea or the progression of a plot, usually related to a young man and his decisions. But then later in the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs are more just a collection of proverbial statements around a central theme, not so much the progression of a plot, but Proverbs that kind of touch on the same idea. And so like yesterday, I'll include the EHV headings for these sections because I think it helps us to get a grasp on the central themes that are going on here. And so these Proverbs, these proverbial statements, you might often think of them as a mentor or a the parent that you wish you had, or the parent, maybe the parent that you did have, or an older person who kind of takes you alongside, especially as you're going through your difficult teenage years and or early 20s or even, preteens. The book of Proverbs is fantastic for young children in that regard, in that the wisdom literature gets them to think about these things more clearly. And it provides an opportunity for the mentor to talk and discuss the topic with the mentee. And so it's like, as Pastor Getzinger back in Ottawa used to say, that there's two types of people. The people who learn very well from the school of talk, from the school of books and from reading and discussion and from the school of talk. And then there are those who learn from the school of walk, the school of hard knocks, who, even though you talk to them and you even warn them, they kind of have to go through it themselves before the lesson really sinks in. And so the book of Proverbs is intended as divine literature for you to discuss how do I live as a Christian, as a believer in this world? How do I live as a follower of Jesus in this world? And to provide that opportunity for talk, so that in this school of talk, the Holy Spirit can change hearts and attitudes and change our focus so that we see who our Lord is and we see how his words apply to our lives. So today, Proverbs chapters 16, 17, and 18, and I'll include the headings. More advice for a wise son. A person may have thought things through in his heart, but an apt answer from his tongue comes from the Lord. All of a person's ways are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs motives. Commit what you do to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, even a wicked person for a day of trouble. Anyone with an arrogant attitude is disgusting to the Lord. Be sure of this, that person will not go unpunished. Through mercy and truth, guilt is atoned for, and through the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When the Lord is pleased with a man's ways, he causes even his enemies to live at peace with him. Wisdom for a king and his subjects. Verse 8. Better a little with righteousness than a large income without justice. A person's heart plans his way, but the Lord makes his steps secure. The king's lips speak for God, so his mouth should not betray justice. An accurate balance and scales belong to the Lord. He has made all the weights in the bag. It is disgusting for kings to commit wickedness, because the throne is established by righteousness. Kings approve of righteous lips. They love a person who speaks upright things. The king's anger is a messenger of death, but a wise person can appease it. There is life in the light from a king's face, and his favor is like a cloud that brings spring rain. How much better to acquire wisdom rather than gold, and to acquire understanding is more desirable than silver. The highway followed by upright persons turns away from evil. The person who guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit precedes a fall. Better to share a humble spirit with the oppressed than to share stolen goods with the haughty. Whoever gives careful consideration to a matter will succeed, and a person who trusts the Lord will be blessed. A wise heart will be called discerning, and appealing speech increases learning. Good sense is a fountain of life for the person who possesses it, but the instruction given by stubborn fools is stupidity. A wise heart produces edifying speech. It makes a person's lips more persuasive. Pleasant speech is honey from a honeycomb, sweet to the spirit, and healing for the bones. Advice for a wise son. Verse 25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is a road to death. A laborer's appetite labors for him because the hunger of his mouth drives him on. A worthless scoundrel constantly plots evil, and from his lips comes a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads conflict, and a gossip separates intimate friends. A violent man entices his neighbor. He leads him on a way that is not good. A person who squints his eyes is plotting something perverse. One who purses his lips has completed some evil plot. Gray hair is a beautiful crown. It is found on the way to righteousness. Better to be patient than to be a hero. Better to control your temper than to capture a city. Lots are cast into a pouch, but the Lord determines all their decisions. This concludes chapter 16. And one thought that kind of comes to mind right here is just the style of literature. And Jewish poetry is basically what this is. You're looking for really one of two things. Either a contrast, like the wise man does this, but the fool does that. And usually there's some overlapping contrast. It's not just a difference in action, but also a difference in person. And so you're looking for the contrast between two things, or you're looking for the advancement of the plot, for lack of a better word. I can't think of how else to say that. Where the second statement basically restates the first, but takes it a step further. And that's what we have in a lot of these. And I think as we come across any others in the rest of this reading, I'll highlight it afterward. Chapter 17. The heading is More Advice for a Son. Better a piece of dry bread with peace than a house full of feasting with quarreling. A wise slave will rule over a shameful son. He will share the inheritance with the brothers. There is a crucible for refining silver and a smelter for gold. In the same way, the Lord examines the hearts. An evildoer pays attention to wicked lips. A liar feeds upon a destructive tongue. Whoever mocks a poor person insults his maker. A person who rejoices over calamity will not escape. Grandchildren are a crown for the elderly, and parents are a source of pride for their children. Introduction to Fools and Foolishness. Part 1. The Consequences of Being a Fool. Eloquent lips are not fitting for a fool, how much less lying lips for a ruler. A bribe works like a charm for the person who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. A person who covers an offense pursues love, but one who repeats the matter separates friends. A reprimand impresses a discerning person more than receiving 100 lashes impresses a fool. An evil person promotes only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than to meet a fool in his stupidity. A person who repays evil for good, evil will never leave his house. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate, so stop the dispute before it gets started. Acquitting a guilty person and convicting an innocent person, both of these are disgusting to the Lord. Why hand a fool money to buy wisdom, since he has no aptitude for using it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother was born for a time of trouble. A person without sense shakes hands to guarantee a loan for his neighbor. A person who loves sin loves conflict. A person who builds his gates high invites destruction. A crooked mind does not find good. A perverted tongue will fall into disaster. The man who fathers a fool has grief, and the father of an arrogant fool will have no joy. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A wicked person secretly accepts a bribe to pervert the ways of justice. Wisdom is right in front of a discerning person, but a fool's eyes wander to the end of the earth. avoiding fools and foolishness. Verse 25. A foolish son is an aggravation to his father and bitterness to the woman who bore him. It is not good to impose a fine on a righteous person, nor to flog officials because of their uprightness. A person with knowledge restrains his words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even a stubborn fool who keeps silent will be considered wise. He is considered to be perceptive if he keeps his lips shut. That's the end of chapter 17. I think that last one, maybe it was like Winston Churchill or C.S. Lewis. I think it was Churchill, who was kind of known for his one-liners. And he lifted one basically out of the pages of scripture. Better to have everyone think you a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. Chapter 18. And this chapter is still grouped under that ESV translation heading of avoiding fools and foolishness. And so we quick reminder that the chapters and the verses aren't inspired. They were added in later on as helpful assistance for finding a portion of scripture. And so a lot of times they tried to find a suitable break. Like the book of Romans is very well divided according to its various themes. The book of Philippians or Colossians, yeah, maybe not so much. But I wouldn't have done a better job. So chapter 18, still under this idea of avoiding fools and foolishness. 18 verse 1, a person who is a loner seeks his own desires. He fights against all sound judgment. A fool finds no pleasure in his understanding, but only in revealing his own opinions. When a wicked person comes, contempt comes with him, and with it dishonor comes disgrace. The words from a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a flowing stream. It is not good to show favoritism to a wicked person in order to deprive a righteous person of justice. A fool's lips enter a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a trap for his soul. The words of a gossip are like delicious food. People gobble them right down. A man who fails to do his work is brother to a vandal. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. A righteous person runs inside and is protected. A rich person's wealth is his strong city. In his imagination, it is like a high wall. Before destruction, a man's heart is proud. But humility comes before honor. If a person answers before he listens, that is foolishness that brings disgrace. A man's spirit can endure illness, but who can bear a broken spirit? A discerning heart acquires knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek knowledge. A person's gift opens doors for him. It leads him into the presence of great people. The first person to state his case appears to be right. Then his neighbor comes and cross-examines him. Casting lots ends disputes and decides between powerful people. A brother who has been wronged is harder to regain than a strong city, and disputes are like a bar across the gate of a citadel. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied with the harvest of his lips. Life and death lie in the power of a tongue, and those who love to use it will eat its fruit. The man who finds a wife finds a good thing, and he obtains favor from the Lord. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man with many acquaintances may suffer harm, but there is a loving friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is the word of our God. And so here at the end of chapter 18, a number of statements that you could just look at those again, or crack open your paper Bible and just find one or two and chew on it and turn it over in your head. And what does this look like? Some of these statements are, just statements of truth about the way the world works. A bribe opens doors for you, right? And some of these statements are more guidance guidance for the Christian to say, don't be a fool. Learn from the school of talk before you have to go to the school of walk. Learn from the school of words and study and discussion before you get run through the ringer in the school of hard knocks. And so what would this have to say to you and to me? I think, first of all, there's the guidance that God knows what it's like for you to live in a sinful world. And God knows what it's like to have somebody wrong you at work or drag your name through the mud for no reason. God knows what it's like to have somebody gossip about you or talk behind your back, and he knows. But you don't have to wonder as to what the right course of action is. It's not up to us, to join in the mud and to start slinging mud back and forth, to repay insult with injury, and to try to get our way the way everybody else does. No, as a Christian, you are different. You have been set apart. And it is our obligation to, as far as it depends on us, and as near as we can tell from our actions and from our words, it's up to us to restrain our words and to be patient, to act considerately and charitably toward our neighbor or our family member or those around us, to act in such a way that says, I know who my God is, and I know that he sees everything, and that he will set things straight in their proper time. Until then, my actions are going to demonstrate that God is greater than this squabble, greater than this argument, and God knows the truth. And that's really the comfort that we have here, that this Jesus that you and I know and love, he was betrayed, he was gossiped about, and all these bad things happened to him, and yet he has been and stuck closer to you than even your family, that this Jesus died for you and rose for you. And so you know that God sees everything and that God will set everything straight in its proper time because he already has. Thanks so much for listening today. God bless your day.